Hello and welcome to Amateur Radio Topics. This is episode 6. My name is Kevin, VK6 Lima Whiskey, and in this episode we're going to take a look at various types of wire beam antennas. So these are antennas that I've used fairly extensively over the years, mainly for contesting and general HF operating. So over the last few weeks I've been working quite hard rebuilding some of the wire antennas here, just changing the configurations around. I did have a 160-meter dipole up at about 27 meters at the apex, an inverted V, which worked quite well. And over the season here, season where the propagation is fairly good to North America and Europe, made some fairly good QSOs, had some good band openings on occasions, but generally speaking the conditions on 160 haven't been quite as good as in previous years. That's what I've found. So we took that antenna down and set about rebuilding the spider beam. Now I've been using a spider beam for quite a few years now, maybe 10 years, in various formats. Spider beam is quite a good antenna. It's available as a kit, or you can buy all the components from spider beam. You can buy the spreader poles, you can buy the wire, the ballon, and you can download the instructions of how to build the antenna. So I've got quite a comprehensive website, and I've built a couple of these spider beams now with various modifications and formats to try and get slightly better performance out of them. Now spider beam cell, the whole kit, you can buy the whole kit, and that includes the spider beam wire, which is a plastic PVC coated type wire, has a certain velocity factor, and in fact I have been using that over the years. However, I did run into some problems with it. The plastic coating tends to be prone to bird damage. The birds get onto the wire and they peck the wire, then the moisture gets into the inner conductor, and it's quite a strong wire. It's a copper wire with a steel core. But the only problem I've found with that is that once the insulation has been damaged, then the copper starts to deteriorate. Anyway, decided to make some changes to that. Decided to basically rebuild it. And it's taken a couple of weeks of work just to get that back together again. It's quite a nice antenna. You get three full-size elements on 20 meters, three full-size elements on 15, and four elements on 10 meters. So it has a reasonable amount of gain, and I've got mine up at about 23 meters in height. So it's nicely up in the clear. It will work okay at lower heights, particularly on 15 and 10 meters. So, and I've had some fairly good performance with this antenna. I rebuilt on this occasion with a 2mm enameled copper wire, and I remodeled the antenna in Easy NEC first, just to try and optimize the performance, the front to back, the gain, angle of radiation, that sort of thing. So I didn't make any huge fundamental changes to the format of the antenna, but found that with some modifications to the wire lengths, I could get slightly better performance on the CW end of the band, which is my main interest. So I actually finished rebuilding that today, and that's in time for the RSGB Commonwealth contest, the Baru contest, which is held this weekend. So I was quite keen to try and get that finished and done. On this occasion, I've got one feed line to the antenna. It feeds all three driven elements, and that seems to work okay. I've got a very simple air cord coaxial type ballon prior to the feed point, and I've used that type of arrangement before. The other arrangement I've had with the spider beam, which really worked quite well, was to switch the feed points with a relay at the top of the mast, and this way you get optimum performance on each band. There's no interaction then between the driven elements with the common feed line. Anyway, on this occasion, I've gone for the common feed line. There's a couple of reasons for that. One is that it gives me slightly more flexibility with the setup I have here with the single operator to VFO arrangement I have with the ICOM 7610. So I can monitor two frequencies. It's got two independent receivers. And by having an HF beam with one feed line, it's quite good because I can hop between the bands quite easily. And the enabled copper wire hasn't got any PVC coating. So obviously the antenna or the wire lengths were slightly different from the original spider beam wire lengths that you will find in their manual. Essentially, the performance is probably going to be very similar, but it's been a useful exercise. It's also made the antenna probably a little bit more heavy duty. The wire's a bit heavier. I've got the heavy duty spider beam poles, which are much better than the standard spider beam. Standard spider beam poles have got quite a thin wall to them, and they're really more of a field day or temporary type application. But I leave these antennas up through all weathers here, and eventually, obviously, you run into a problem. So everything's beefed up a bit, using heavier duty cord on the antenna ends, and heavier duty insulators. So it's very much a heavy duty model of the spider beam. So I did some initial testing this evening, and it really seems to work quite well, certainly as well as I would expect. HF conditions at the moment are quite poor. The solar flux is only in the low 70s. There was an opening to Europe this evening, early this evening. Some reasonable signals into Western Europe. So that augurs quite well for the contest coming up this weekend. Now on 40 metres, I've had a beam up on 40 metres for some time, and I've had various forms of rotatable beam, really modelled around the Moxon design, and these have worked quite well. But more recently, I've reverted back to a two-element fixed beam on 40. The boom height is up at about 22 metres, and the elements are inverted V-type elements. And I've got a reversible arrangement where I can beam to Europe and also beam to Europe on the long path on 40. Not that the openings from VK6 to Europe on the long path are all that significant, but there's other areas of interest on that long path back to Europe late in the afternoon here, the Caribbean and some other areas there that are not always so easy to work. So I found this to be quite effective. I've got two feed lines, one to each inverted V dipole. They're a certain length, and they're terminated in a switching box with a couple of relays, and the relays switch the direction of the antenna instantly. And it's got pretty good gain, works very well. And I've also got another 40 meter dipole, which is on my second tower, mounted at right angles to this two element beam. So I can switch between the two antennas, and it's quite a bit of difference actually between the 40 meter dipole, which has a broadside pattern to the US, North America, on the short and long path. So there's quite a bit of difference there between that and the two element beam. The two element beam's obviously got a front to side ratio, it's got a front to back ratio, and the 40 meter dipole on the second tower is just a straight dipole around about 22 meters up. So that's got a bi-directional pattern, and it's quite a good antenna. Not as good as the two element beam, obviously. And I can switch between the two. I can also feed, obviously, each antenna into the independent separate receivers that I have on the ICOM, which is quite a nice feature as well. And if you're interested, that can lead to diversity reception, that type of thing. But personally, I'm not that interested in that mode. I tend to use the ICOM with the two receivers, and with the two VFO arrangement, I can have one VFO feeding each ear. And with the login software I use, which is N1MM, I can toggle between the two receivers. So having two antennas pointing in two different directions on the same band It's quite useful from a contesting point of view. And the other antenna I've got at the moment is an 80-meter dipole, and the top of that is up at about 27 meters. That sits above the two element 40-meter beam. So the 80-meter dipole at 27 meters, quite an effective antenna. Been getting some good results into Europe and to the US with that. Fairly omnidirectional. If you model it, hasn't got a tremendously low angle of radiation, but it's low enough to be able to work lots of DX, and pretty good contest antenna because it's as I say, it's reasonably omnidirectional. So these are the antennas I've been working on for the last few weeks. All fed with 50 ohm coax, RG213, and this should give me a reasonably good chance in the contest. It's RSGB Baru Commonwealth contest is, as it sounds, you only work stations within the Commonwealth. So there's not a high QSO rate contest. Essentially, even when conditions are good, I might not make anything more than 800 or 900 QSOs from here. VK6 is reasonably well placed for working back into Europe, particularly on 15 and 10 metres, but it has some disadvantages from some other areas, particularly South America. Fortunately, in the Baru contest, there's not that much happening in South America from the contest point of view, but probably I miss out a little bit on the Caribbean path as compared to, say, VK2 or VK3. So it's always an interesting contest. It's quite a tactical contest. It revolves around bonus points and call areas, and it's not about calling CQ continuously. There's a lot of searching, a lot of finding stations. I always operate in the unassisted category. I much prefer to try and work in that category rather than the assisted category. But in this particular contest now, there are assisted categories. There's an open section, there's a restricted section, different power levels, different antenna formats, that type of thing. So I'm in the open, high power, unassisted category. And be interesting to see what happens this year. Last year conditions weren't great. There was only a handful of QSOs on 10 metres. But 15 metres was reasonably good. So quite optimistic at this stage for 15, 20, 40 and 80 being okay. And the, as I mentioned, the solar flux levels are low 70s. Fairly not much chance of any sort of geomagnetic storm this weekend. So it should be good. Also in contests, I tend to use receive antennas. I've got beverage antennas running across the block in two directions. So I've got 2.5 acres of land here. I can fit around about 150 metres across each diagonal quite easily, maybe a little bit more actually, might be closer to 180 metres. And these are beverage antennas, a long, low receiving wire antenna. Terminated on one end with typically a 600 ohm resistor, and at the other end fed through a typically something like a 9 to 1 ballon for a reasonable match to 50 ohm coax. So it only needs a very small ballon, like a binocular type ballon, and that feeds back into the coax back to the shack. Normally you need the receive preamp on to make these things work reasonably well, but they are tremendous help in contests, tremendous help if you've got high atmospheric noise or you've got noise from other directions. Quite often on, particularly on 80 and 40 metres and 160, I can hear stations on the beverage that are simply not readable or workable on the transmit antenna. So having the two beverages, it means I can switch in the two directions. Could change those to unterminated beverages. If you do that, then you've got a situation where the beverage will fire in two directions, and effectively with a simple switch you can listen in four directions. I've also got a low dipole further down the block. It's just a small HF dipole. It's quite useful sometimes for pulling stations out of the noise that maybe, for whatever reason, I'm not hearing so well on the beverage, particularly on 40 metres. And I've got a beverage on ground, and I never really thought these things worked, but I put one of these down, so to speak, a couple of years ago in a northerly direction. It's about 270 feet. It's something like 80 meters long. And it's on the ground. It's not terminated. It's fed through, again, I think I've got that fed through a 9-to-1 ballon. And it works fairly well. It works particularly well for JAs. There's a northern path, and the signals are much lower, obviously, on a beverage on ground, but there's virtually no noise. So the signal to noise ratio can be better on the beverage on ground, and I am meaning to put some more of these around the block. Actually, if I can replace my standard beverages, which are around about 7 to 8 feet in height, the beverage on ground would probably be a much neater way of doing things, because obviously after a while there tends to be quite a bit of wire, guy wires with two antennas, cabling, and yes, I could probably improve the situation a little bit aesthetically, visually, by removing the above ground beverages and replacing those with beverage on ground. So an interesting antenna. It's not necessarily the last word in receiving antennas. There's all sorts of receiving antennas that you can take a look at. We haven't really even started to cover those yet, but this is what I'm using. Found the beverages to be pretty good, certainly for contests. There's no way you can really work on the low bands here without having some sort of beverage antenna to help you on receive. I mean, you can do it, but you're just going to miss so much on the transmit antenna, particularly if you're using a vertical antenna. Vertical antenna is about the worst case scenario for receive when it comes to the low bands. So my plans for the weekend are to operate in the contest, obviously, and be a really good test for the new spider beam, which obviously only really completed today, and that's going to be it's going to be a bit of fun to see how that performs. Hopefully conditions will be fairly good and some good activity. I think this year the activity is probably going to be fairly high. There's quite a few people travelling to various exotic destinations, and there's also seems to be more headquarters stations which act as extra bonuses. So that should be that should add to the general fun of the contest. It's normally a fairly good showing from VK and ZL, and also always a good showing from the UK. And then of course there's all the various smaller countries around the world that take part in this contest. So well worth a listen, well worth a play around in that contest if you happen to be in the Commonwealth. If you're not in the Commonwealth, it makes it a little bit difficult, but an interesting contest, and some exotic DX that doesn't always appear in some of the other contests. A little bit more of a leisurely contest than maybe CQ Worldwide or WPX type contest. So it's a different sort of operating environment in that contest. Okay, so that pretty well wraps it up for this episode. If you have any questions, you can email through to us at hamradiotopics@gmail.com. You can find us on Apple Podcasts. It might help if you leave a review on there, or leave a review on your app of choice. There's quite a few apps these days that you can access this podcast on. So you're not restricted just to Apple as such. And look forward to presenting the next episode, probably in a week or two, and we'll delve a little bit more then into construction of the wire antenna beams, and also the fixed wire antenna beams and switching units, how easy that is to do. It's actually really pretty straightforward. It's quite nice to be able to have a fixed beam switching two directions, don't need a rotator. It's pretty simple and it's easy to implement, very easy in fact. So we'll cover that a little bit more. We'll try and get some more information up onto our website, which is zigzagwest.com. And that's we'll have some more show notes on there as we move along. There's some initial information on there, but it needs to be added to. and when I find a little bit more time to formulate up some of the diagrams and the information related to the antennas. So 73s for now. Have a good weekend, and we'll be in touch again soon.